5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Inevitably, there comes a day that isn't as bad as the one before it.
And until then,
well, that's what prescription medication is for.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Dawson's Creek. Today's episode is Season 5, Episode 4, The Long Goodbye. And now, here are your hosts,
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to 2026 for our first regular episode of the new year. Before we get into it, we want to tell you what's happening on Patreon. This Friday, January 12th, we will be bringing you Again With This 271. Let's watch a bunch of Dawson's Creek stars in their pre-fame commercials. I tried to narrow it down to just one per guest star, but there are a couple that had to go in there twice because they were too good, Meredith Monroe and John Wesley Shipp. So you will be seeing them along with people like Kerr Smith, Jane Lynch, Tony Hale, of course, Rachel Lee Cook. You probably remember that one already, but we will link all of them in the show notes in case you want to watch them first. And if you are not in the club, againwiththispodcast.com/club. Any level of support gets you those bonus episodes 4 Fridays a month. Again, that is againwiththispodcast.com/club. Sarah, are you ready to talk about this episode?
I think so.
Really, just the one plot line. Mitch is dead and everyone has feelings about it. We open in town where a couple who could walk straight out of this setup into an ad for Cialis run up to the door of Gail's restaurant and are disappointed to see a hastily made sign that reads closed, death in the family, which, like, family emergency is fine. And then we get flashes of different empty rooms in the Leary house, ending on Dawson in the kitchen, at one point really aggressively hand washing a glass. You can see the gif that I made of him, like, shaking it super hard. Just put it in the dishwasher, weirdo. The baby starts crying. He goes to get her, letting the camera pan across several framed family photos on a shelf, which takes us into clip two. Good Lord.
I mean, you know, you didn't actually have to kill him off.
No.
You didn't have to kill him off the way you did. So, okay with the plinking.
No.
Whose fault is this?
Also, somewhere Abby Morgan's unquiet ghost is like, why didn't I get the special theme song when I kicked it? Anyway.
Yeah, really.
After the credits, we're at a funeral home where the mortician is asking Dawson about Gail. Dawson says she cries a lot, which, duh. And they go on clip three.
And you? How are you? People ask me that a lot. It's a weird question. Every time I start to give too long of an answer, which I'm starting to do right now, those same people get very uncomfortable. Not you, though, huh? I guess you're an old pro at this.
You could say that.
I'm fine.
I thought that was pretty good writing, actually. A lot of this episode is like that. Like, you kind of don't need any of the scenes. It's basically Emmy baiting, I guess. But it's also like, I don't know, weirdly for this character that they did dirty, they put some actually fairly elegant writing in it about grief for this show. So, yeah.
Yeah. The only thing about that, I just thought it was strange that, you know, they set up like, you're an old hand at this. You're used to getting an answer to this question. And then he's just like, yep. And then Dawson just says, I'm fine. So it's like kind of a missed opportunity, but I guess he wasn't going to spill his guts to this guy.
Yeah.
I guess Gail is crying too much to pick a casket, because then Dawson points to one that the mortician, gravely, sorry, but he does, calls very tasteful. This does not seem to be something Dawson should be tasked with if the deceased's spouse is still alive, but I guess he's being nice. I don't know. This seems strange to me. This doesn't seem like a Dawson job.
I mean, is he also paying for it with his money from...
Right.
Like, we all understand that the actor is in his 20s, but the show needs to not act like he didn't just turn 18. So right.
Then we're at the marina. Pacey is literally reading Kitchen Confidential. You can see it in the visual aids when Joey shows up with bad news. Doug told her that he had left messages for Pacey at the restaurant. Pacey tries to keep joshing until Joey's like, it's Mitch. He's dead. Pacey asks the obvious questions that we already know the answers to, other than that no one else was hurt and it happened a couple of days ago. Pacey claims he's not sure Dawson would want him there, and Joey is so appalled that he would try to weasel out of this, supposedly to spare Dawson's feelings, that Pacey immediately knows she's right and goes to pack. And you know who's not going to figure out they should be there? It's the girl that Dawson was dating until 5 months ago and lives close enough to drive back to Capeside in less than half a day, but I guess she had moved on to other pastures and they couldn't get her back. The B&B is apparently where the residents of Graham's new house are staying and are helping put together food gifts for the Learys. Jen anxiously tells Jack she's nervous about seeing Dawson because she doesn't know what to say to him. Jack tells her there is no good thing and remembers the stupid shit people said to him when his brother Tim died. Y'all remember Tim? Shout out Tim.
Yeah, glad the writers did.
I kind of forgotten about him, so I'm glad they did too.
Mm-hmm.
Dawson is alone in this, Jack says, and there isn't anything Jen or anyone else could say that would take his pain away, which is not really helpful. So Jack says Jen just needs to figure out how to be there for Dawson in her own way. Throw him one! What a nice gesture! He would be so grateful!
Yeah, it would take his mind off things for
it's true. I'm starting to think seconds. Throw him one should be our next sticker, actually.
I mean, someone really does need to throw him one. It's starting to really be sad.
I'm saying. Anyway.
He's in the title. Even Felicity had slapped by now. Come on.
Back at the Leary house, Dawson puts the baby in her crib, which has fabric bumpers all over its bars and blankets on the mattress the way we do not do anymore. Also, the room is wallpapered now, so I don't know why Jack and Dawson had to paint it like we saw them do in the previous season. And by the way, the baby who played Lily, whose name is Jenna Cavell, is still in show business as a producer. So it is hilarious for me to have these episode pages up and see like the little thumbnail pic of baby on set in a baseball cap and headphones. Like, you know, she's an adult.
Oh,
she produced a bunch of Hulu original horror movies and also Give Me Back My Daughter for Lifetime. So check her out. I put her link at her IMDb profile in the show notes.
Good job, Lily.
Yeah. Then Dawson is creeping into Gail's room. She is asleep as he throws away the Kleenexes around her on the bed. And then he goes into his own room, which is when Mitch appears in the doorway and asks how Dawson is enjoying his birthday. I was all ready to yell that Dawson's birthday's in the spring when it becomes clear this is a memory of his 12th birthday. Clip 4.
I think I'm ready for a girlfriend.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
Well, I'd say give it a few years. You got plenty of time before girls start clouding your head.
Okay.
No comment. Other than all the comments we've already made. Anyway, Dawson's gifts that year included a VHS of 1941, which was not easy to find. But there is one more in the closet, a Sony video camera. Clip 5.
The guy at the store said it was a real good one for making movies. Great editing capabilities, and it comes with its own tripod.
Thank you, Dad.
You're welcome, Dawson.
Dad, this must have been really expensive, but you're not going to regret it. I swear I'm going to make so many movies on this. This is not a phase.
Oh, don't worry about that, Dawson. Just enjoy it. Let the things you love be your escape.
Okay. It's not how we talk to 12-year-olds, but no. I did think that Vanderbeek did a pretty good job with the embodying his 12-year-old self.
Yes, which they let him do himself and didn't, like, you know, bring in an inner child like they did with Dylan.
Oh my God, Dylan or child.
Anyway, Dawson's still smiling when Joey materializes in the doorway and comments on his expression, which he doesn't explain. They hug, and then there's a long moment where I guess we are supposed to decide if there are any sexual feelings between them before Joey asks if there's anything she can do. I would think the memories of her own poor dead mom's poor dead death would still be fresh enough for Joey to know she should offer something specific instead of putting the onus on Dawson, but he does actually need her to watch Lily while he goes to the funeral home. He takes a suit off the back of his door, and she idiotically asks if it's what he's going to be wearing. No, obviously it is what Mitch is going to be wearing. Joey is hideously embarrassed, and Dawson's like, you couldn't have known that, which, like, she could have if she thought about it for a second. Why would he be taking his suit somewhere else?
It's, or just don't comment on it. I don't know. She had options there.
She really did. Then it's the funeral, which we experience as various shots of the mourners while a sad pop song plays. Grams holds the baby while Gail sobs, which is sweet. There's more of them to come, which I was glad about. Joey takes Dawson's hand, but he lets go to give Gail on his other side his handkerchief. And then everyone's back at the Leary house for the reception. Grams comes over to Dawson, who is sitting on the stairs with baby, and offers to take her, but Lily is the buffer that stops people coming over to offer him platitudes. When Grams asks, he says Gail's upstairs and will not come down. Dawson invites Grams to give him her platitude, but she's fresh out. He expected the Lord moves in mysterious ways, at least, but she and the Lord aren't on speaking terms this week. Gosh. Grams.
Yeah. Like, how much did you really like Mitch, though?
Well,
that you would not.
Yeah.
Like, he took your husband and you didn't stop speaking to God, so.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, but he was old. I mean, I can see this being like a young family is missing a dad. You know, I understood why she would be upset, but not so upset that she wouldn't still be, you know, praying about it.
Yeah. So that he would protect the living
right.
members of the family. I don't know.
Yeah, from it was ice cream cones, among other things.
Oh my God. From really, really needing to save that scoop that hit the deck. So
bad. I'll never be over it. Then it's Joey's turn for a vivid memory of Mitch. She's outside looking up at Dawson's window when suddenly past Mitch is there setting up the ladder so that she doesn't climb the trellis anymore. It's dangerous, and if she hurt herself, Dawson would never forgive Mitch. Clip six.
Sooner or later, Joey is going to pull his head out of the sand. He'll figure it out. Probably not as soon as you'd like. Boys are stupid like that.
Okay.
Okay. Were we supposed to think he knew about her feelings for him all along, or that she had them all along? That's weird writing, but okay.
Right. I mean, we don't know how old she was supposed to have been there, I guess. But yes. True.
And also, you know, give John Wesley Shipp his last ups, I guess.
Sure. Although he does end with a forehead kiss, so I guess now we know whom to blame for that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Then Jen is finding Dawson at the fridge, trying to decide between orange juice and wine. Clip seven.
Wine's fine, but whiskey's quicker.
No, that's not the line.
Liquor's quicker. Liquor's quicker. That's the whole point of it.
Exactly.
Let her do it again.
Dawson says this is the kind of moment that makes him wish he were, as he puts it, a drug person. But starting up seems like a lot of hassle. You also can't score good dope in Cape Side anyway, Jen adds.
What? So. You can't. Okay, it's like right next to Hyannis, which is like a big dope hub, or it was.
Well, maybe you can't now that Joey's dad is in prison because he was the connect for everybody.
Yeah, it could be.
Supply chain is broken. Anyway.
Boston's right there.
Orange juice it is. They go on. Clip eight.
So I've been trying to figure out exactly what it is that I'm supposed to say to you. Because I feel terrible, Dawson, I really do. I mean, I can't imagine what you're going through, and I feel so helpless. I mean, if this were about a girl, I could offer sage advice, but this is out of my league. I mean, the only person that was ever taken from me was my grandfather, and that was a long time coming, you know? So here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna give you a hug, and I'm not gonna let go for a really long time. I'm gonna tell you that I love you, which is actually a pretty good deal. Because it means that I'll do anything on the off chance it'll make you a little less sad.
That sounds very good to me.
I mean, first of all, anything? Throw him one. But second of all, for real, that was sweet.
Mm-hmm.
That was very Jen. I liked that moment between them.
I do think you could just go straight to the hug and the I love you without the preamble that puts it on the bereaved to make you feel better. But otherwise, you know, not bad.
But also, I mean, very 19 years old way of being around that. So I'll give him that at least.
Well, also a very this show way of being where it's like you can't. If the choice is between saying less and more, it's never going to be less.
Yeah.
Gail is sitting in the window seat in her bedroom when Joey opens the door. Gail starts straight in on a monologue without any greeting. She can't believe Mitch is gone and keeps expecting to hear his car. They joke about the fabulous party downstairs before Gail asks about Dawson. Joey says he's holding it together, which worries both her and Gail. Joey adds that in a way, Mitch isn't gone because he lives on in Dawson and, quote, absolute reflection of his father. And furthermore, clip 9.
You know, growing up, spending all that time with you guys, I think I was too little to really understand it, but I always knew there was something special about the way you guys looked at each other. Like you were in on this great little secret that the rest of us weren't privy to, and my parents never had that, not even in the best of times. I'm not going to sit here and try to pretend to know what was going through his mind before he died, but I know your husband loved you very much.
I always noticed how horny the two of you were for each other is actually probably something Gail wants to hear right now, to be honest, just because of how they were. So I'll give her that. Also, what was going through his mind before he died was a truck. Sorry. He's not real.
I was going to say the steering column. Yes, we all saw the last part of Shawshank. We all went there.
Sorry, this is tasteless, but like John Wesley Shipp was still alive then, is still alive now. Like,
yeah,
living happily in New York, going to Lady Gaga shows, has a little dog. Everything's going great for JWS based on his Instagram, at least.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go ahead and joke about Mitch. Sorry. Anyway.
I mean, also, if they didn't know that this would be the result, just like some melty ice cream glopping around on your floor mat that led to your death.
Yes.
Like, I mean, there's only so performatively somber we can be.
Correct.
Also, he's not a real person.
The scene ends on Joey screwing up her mouth at Gail for way too long, as you can see in the visual aids. Like, true cut moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then Pacey comes out the front door and is surprised to hear Dawson tucked in the corner of the porch call his name. Dawson asks about Pacey's summer, which was great, and cleared his head. Pacey asks about film school. Dawson says he's considering dropping out. I guess Mitch's death is complicating the decision, but only says when Pacey asks that it's a long story. Pacey does not do a whole ramp up like Jen before saying he's really sorry. And instead of Mitch appearing to them both to perform the memory, Dawson just asks Pacey if he remembers the time Mitch caught them smoking out there. Of course, Mitch was just concerned for them, which is not how it would have gone if Sheriff Witter had been the one to catch them. Pacey thinks he would still be smoking out of spite if he had. Certainly true. Dawson giggles and then says he should go do something useful. And on his way in, he gives Pacey a manly handshake, but Pacey pulls him into a long hug that Dawson seems ambivalent about, which I guess is still fair at this point in their friendship. Mm-hmm. And when Dawson goes back inside, some broad named Susan appears to reintroduce herself to Dawson as a college friend of Gail's. Dawson remembers her as Gail's deadhead friend, which she chuckles at and doesn't correct. And then, in the way of deadheads throughout history, flouts a standard social boundary with someone she barely knows to get way too deep, way too fast. Clip 10.
Tell me, are you dealing with your grief?
I'm dealing.
How are you dealing with it?
Not to be rude, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, where are you channeling all the feelings you're having about your father's passing?
You know, not to be rude again, but I really don't have the time or the luxury.
Oh, you must take the time, Dawson.
Hi, you've reached the Learys.
minus Dawson, that is, who can be reached in sunny California these days. If you have a message for Gail, Lily, or myself, however, you can leave it at the tone.
I'm fine.
Yeah, you seem it, actually.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was Dawson melting down, trying to unplug the answering machine, and everybody watching him sadly. And this is the first shot we get of Joey at her makeup artist, I guess, is punishing her because, like, just the tip of her nose is gray. And you see it again in another scene, too. Like, she's been turning newspaper pages with her nose. It's really weird.
Yeah, weird. Really weird.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Joey finds Dawson on the Leary dock, where he ruefully comments that it wasn't his finest moment. Joey remembers a time a few months after her poor dead mom died when she chanced upon a grocery list Lillian had written and cried at it for hours. And if she'd had an encounter with her mother's voice on an answering machine like Dawson did just then, she would have run away screaming. I thought that was a nice detail, too. That felt like very personally observed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dawson currently says he can't go crazy. Gail is falling apart, so he has to keep it together. Joey says they're both allowed to be wrecks, which, like, someone has to keep it together enough to keep the baby alive, unfortunately. Like, can't just both take to your beds. Someone does actually have to hold down the fort. And maybe if she wants to do something to help, Joey could take the baby to her place to hang out with Alexander for a few days, but does not say that. She tries to be cute, saying Dawson can look after Gail and Joey will look after Dawson. He looks at her dubiously and then says he had no concept of what she went through when her mother died. He feels like he's been walking around outside his body. Joey promises it will get better, but Dawson is determined for that not to happen today. Clip 11.
And any advice on how I should deal with the fact that my father's death was almost entirely my fault?
Were you the one who told him you could eat ice cream off the floor mat?
Yeah. I feel really, really confident that you were not at fault here because these were the reachings of an idiot.
Yeah, they were. They really, really were. They go on. Clip 12.
If I hadn't come back and laid all this on, none of this would have happened.
Look at me. Your father died in a car accident. There was nothing you could do to stop that.
That's not entirely true, Joe. That's, I mean, first off, if I hadn't showed up that morning, my mom would have made me breakfast, which means they wouldn't have run out of milk, which means my dad wouldn't have had to drive to the store that night so the lady would have some in the morning.
Look, that's crazy.
Don't tell me what's crazy, Joan. For all I know, my dad was driving along that night, pissed, having some argument with me in his head, which caused him to take his eyes off the road just long enough.
Look, you can't do this to yourself.
You know what he said to me the last time I saw him? He said that I was making a huge mistake and that he was disappointed in me.
Well, that is true. He did say that.
Yeah.
But, thank God, Dawson also told Joey that Mitch said he loved Dawson very much, which she reminds him about. Dawson will never doubt that Mitch loved him, but it sucks hard knowing he was disappointed in Dawson the day he died. And he was right, Dawson thinks. Dawson was acting like a spoiled brat, and if Dawson had listened to him, Mitch would have been driving Dawson to the airport instead of to his death, which, not if he'd stopped for ice cream on the way. Who knows what would have happened then? Then Grams is on the lawn looking at her old house when she notices Gail leaning on a tree and asks how she is. Hanging in there, she claims, which not according to Dawson, but sure. For 46 years, Graham says she prayed every night for the Lord to take her first. She didn't want to go on without him and didn't think she could, but she has. Inevitably, there comes a day that isn't as bad as the one before it. And until then, that's what prescription medication is for. And they go on, clip 13.
Oh, it's a strange thing we do.
What's that?
Falling in love. You share your life with another person. You give them your heart to the extent that losing them could potentially destroy you. It's a crazy thing to do.
You're right. It's insane.
Then why on earth do we do it?
What else is there?
Oh, I wish I still lived next door.
So do I.
So do I.
Yeah, so do
I. This is such a sweet scene, the non-merry widows. And, like, what else is there? Like, what a just elegant, simple, there didn't have to be another fucking paragraph after it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, they did John Wesley Shipp and the character pretty dirty with this demise.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, I guess, just kind of a lot of dicking around and excuses to look sad. But then at the same time, some of the most like elementally direct writing of the series to date is mm-hmm. in here.
Yeah.
Kind of interesting.
I agree. Including what happens after this clip, which is Graham's offering to stay for a little while and look after the baby like a good neighbor and friend. Like just mm-hmm. they have taken pains, I think, in the seasons leading up to this to like show the two households next door to each other, like getting closer, you know,
mm-hmm.
even though Graham's was presented to us first as like a Bible thumper and judgmental and everyone was scared of her and blah, blah, blah. But then, you know, by the time we got to the baby shower in the previous season, like she and Gail did seem like pals, like we could believe mm-hmm. there was an undercurrent of like time spent together in a fond way that could get them to this moment. And I appreciated that.
Yeah, like actual neighbors would be in a town yeah. this small.
Mm-hmm. Gail says she and Dawson are going to have to face this head on, which I don't know, man, maybe ask Dawson first. But Grams tells Gail not to hesitate to call. Merry widows have to stick together, and they walk off with their arms around each other, which is lovely.
It is.
Time passes. The extras drift out of the house. Dawson lies on his bed as the camera spins above him until Joey comes to the door and says guests are leaving. Without looking at her, Dawson's like, see ya. She offers to stay, but he says she needs to get back to school. She says school doesn't matter right now, despite all the people who are counting on her and to do well and got her there and blah, 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 like she babbled to the prof in the previous episode. But Dawson curtly says he wants to be alone, and Joey shuffles off. And sometime later, Joey's on the porch at the B&B when Pacey comes out, commenting that the place has never been busier. She says the funeral's been great for business. Pacey thinks the worst thing about a funeral is that it puts everyone in a bad mood, which is why he hopes his death is funny. Like getting run over by a car full of clowns. Joey kind of smirks and he's like, mission accomplished. And then she tells Pacey that Dawson blames himself for Mitch's death and why. Clip 14.
Why on earth would Dawson Leary, of all people, want to drop out of film school?
She gives him a look.
Oh. I get it. It's okay, you can tell me, Joe. I'm not going to get upset.
Pace, I didn't ask him to, if that's what you mean.
Look, if anybody understands the various shades of gray here, it's me. And I think it's time that the two of you got your shot. Because the way I see it, you never did, and this world can use as many Romeo and Juliets as it can get.
What happened to them?
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, that... But also, in what way did they not have their shot? They had their shot a lot. They yeah. had their shot their whole lives.
Yeah. Their asses are both peppered with their shots. Enough.
It's true. Also, it's not clear to me, again, whether either of them is trying to have their shot now. They're still being completely vague about that.
Yeah, I would have to go back and read, like, I don't even know, blind items from the era. Like, what was going on with people's shooting schedules and contracts that it had to be this vague?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't either.
Then it's Gail's turn to be thrust back into a memory with corporeal Mitch. Hers is when he was assembling the crib for Dawson. Clip 15.
What do you think he's going to be?
He's anything like you, a pain in the ass.
A lot of fathers want their sons to play baseball.
Not me. Team sports teach conformity.
I mean, I agree, but you coached high school football, I thought.
My God, thank God nobody on the show played baseball. I don't need my name taken in vain any more often than it is IRL.
There's more. Clip 16.
I hope he's a freak.
A freak?
Yeah. Freaks never peak in high school. They never grow up to sell real estate, drink heavily on the weekends, and beat their kids.
Well then, let's hope for a freak.
What?
That really came out of nowhere. Beat your kids. What the fuck?
Talking about... Who wrote this? Jackie Mason? It's really a weird line.
It is. Dawson then comes in and asks if Gail is okay. She snaps back to the present, claiming she is for now, as they both walk around the side of the crib and watch Lily messing with all her blankets and toys and giving present-day pediatricians hives. Gail says the worst part is that Lily will never know Mitch existed. Not if Dawson has anything to do about it, he says. He plans to tell Lily about Mitch every chance he gets. Gail sobs an apology for being such a mess, promises Dawson will get his life back, but Dawson doesn't want her to apologize and says he's not going anywhere anytime soon. Gail says he doesn't have to be so strong. Everyone keeps asking Dawson how he's feeling, he says, but he doesn't feel anything. He's numb, which isn't so bad. Gail's like, great. She warns him that it's all going to come crumbling down, but I guess until then, he's chill. And the next day, Pacey's parking at the Learys when a look back at the flower bed on the side of the house shoots him into the memory of Mitch teaching him how to drive without backing over the flowers. They both pretend Mitch was giving the lesson because Sheriff Witter had to work, which I guess he and all the local Witters, including Doug, were working the day of the funeral too, because I didn't see their asses.
Yeah, what the hell?
Memory Mitch tells Pacey to go easy on his dad. Can't be easy being sheriff. Yeah, this tourist town where the worst criminal ever was apparently the guy who sold weed is a real fucking dump. Anyway, Pacey just wishes his dad were around more. Anytime Pacey wants to practice driving, he can just ask Mitch. And then the doorbell wakes Dawson up. It's Pacey asking how he is. Dawson says Mitch is still dead and it still sucks. Pacey suggests Dawson come for a drive with him, and where he takes him is the stretch of road with fresh skid marks on it where this crash happened.
I'm pretty sure that's also where where Dawson and Gretchen broke down. Like, it's always the same road. I think that's also where Joey popped out of the car and they got in a fight on the shoulder and then kissed. Yep. Like, find a different road. I don't know. North Carolina is a pretty big state.
It is. Dawson is, of course, disturbed, but Pacey wants to tell him what he heard from Doug. Mitch was driving slightly over the speed limit, but that barely mattered since at the same time and in the opposite direction, a guy named Gary Peters, who has a wife and two kids and a job as a baggage handler, at which he had just pulled a double shift, was asleep at the wheel. Gary is the one who killed Mitch, not Dawson. Which does not really jibe with the other driver leaning on the horn at the time of impact, which we heard at the end of the previous episode, I would say.
Yeah. And then why bother with the ice cream then?
Pacey intensely repeats that Gary is to blame, not Dawson. It's fine with Pacey if Dawson wants to grieve. Good. I think he's gonna, regardless. Thanks. Mm-hmm. But he can't blame himself for something that was not his fault. Clip 17.
You got your father for 18 years. And that is a hell of a lot more than some people get. And your father did one hell of a job, Dawson. He made you into a man. And he made you into a man that people care about and admire and respect. And most importantly, love.
No one on this podcast, but people do. That is true.
Yeah. And also, he made you into a man. Phrasing, writers. You're not helping yourselves here. Just saying.
True. Clip 18.
So why am I doing this? I'm doing this because once upon a time, you and I were best friends. And that means that whenever you need me, I'm here. Anytime, anywhere, any place. Forever. You understand that? We should get going.
I'll throw him one. I mean, But also, y'all, I know you're like freshmen in college or that age, but please stop making all of this about yourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whatever. I guess that's sort of well written also. Mm-hmm. That they're like, here I am, performatively here for you, capital H. Like, okay.
Yeah.
Just show up. And then when there's nothing to be done, because it's just grief and that's how it is, leave. And then show up again the next day.
Yeah. I mean, at least this was the thing he can give him that other of his friends can't, which is like the facts
that's true.
Of what happened. I mean, as much as they are known, they couldn't have known it was ice cream related, even if it was in the car. God.
And I hope that never comes out in the official accident report. But yeah, I mean, it does sort of do a good job also of getting its arms around that idea that, like, even though you know you can't control it, feeling like you had some role in it makes it more manageable in some weird way. And it's not just some unfair randomness instead. So
totally
good job, writers, but also stop making these teenagers such teenagers.
Well, alas, that does not happen yet. Back at the Worthington dorm, Joey unpacks as Audrey asks what Mitch was like. Joey says he was a dad in the best way, warm and caring and the kind of pain in the ass you secretly want a parent to be. Audrey asks how Dawson is doing, and Joey petulantly says she doesn't know, clip 19.
Didn't want anything to do with me. I thought I'd be able to help him. I thought I would be this incredible resource because I've been there, you know, but he didn't want anything from me. He didn't even just want to sit there in silence. He just wanted me out of his sight.
It's a me, Joey-o. He wanted a me out of his sight.
I mean, it's like good acting from an obnoxious, like, emotional POV. So
totally, yes. And then she sits on the bed and starts sobbing into her hands because, you know, this is about Joey, ultimately, as we know. Mm-hmm. Back at the Leary house, it's dinner time. Gail cuts up some kind of breaded meat before bringing it back to the kitchen, where she opens the fridge, pulls out a carton, and clip 20.
Honey?
Yeah?
We're out of milk. Would you mind?
Okay. I didn't say this earlier, but when he's like, if it wasn't for me, he wouldn't have needed to go and get milk for Lily. Lily's not drinking milk. She's drinking formula. Unless Dawson finished her formula while he was there. It's extra not his fault that Mitch was out that night.
Yeah, it really isn't.
Anyway, Dawson goes over to comfort her, but she shakes him off and he leaves her alone to sob some more. He learned it from watching you, if you're worried about him being emotionally closed off, ma'am. So Dawson goes to the village market. Mr. Brennan, the market angel, is on shift to offer condolences and also tell Dawson exactly what he needs to hear about the night Mitch died, because Mr. Brennan was working then too, clip 21.
I asked him about you. He said you were a royal pain in the ass.
That's me.
He was proud, though. How do I know that, huh? Well, when I mentioned your name, his whole face just lit up. He said you were this brave kid, but he had no idea how you got to be that way. He said you had a romantic streak a mile long, and he said he was proud to know you. I'm sorry if that makes you sad, Dawson, but I figure if somebody says that about you, you ought to know it.
Strange.
So... yeah, thank God this person came into Dawson's life. He staggers back to the car, closes the door, and finally has the ugly cry breakdown everyone's been waiting for as Fire and Rain plays. And like, I'll say this for Vanderbeek, when he goes for it, he goes all the way. He really, like, I think this ugly cry is forgotten by history, but it's pretty crazy considering the other one we already all remember.
Well, that's the thing. Like, that was already, like, becoming a meme before we even had a word for that. Like, how do you top that? Mm-hmm. You already went full crying Dawson. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I also respected that he tried to find a new twist on the ugly cry, and I think succeeded.
Oh, yes. It's the bellowing ugly cry. It is. It's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
In Boston, Joey lets Audrey pull her off her window seat. Jen and Jack walk on campus. At home in Boston, Grams looks through her photo album and has a little cry. Gail feeds the brand new baby juice. This baby doesn't have teeth yet. Don't give her juice. Audrey and Joey meet up with Jen and Jack. Pacey has finally started wearing his hat when a coworker points out all of his friends. And then Jack, Audrey, and Joey all bust out their fake IDs for a red wine toast, presumably to Mitch. Jen and Pacey also clink water. That's bad luck. You don't do that. Joey sadly looks at the empty chair. And then we're back with Dawson finally crying himself out enough to be able to drive, we hope. And finally, there's one last memory. Mitch setting the camera timer for a family photo before Dawson runs out to meet his friends at a movie and Gail takes Lily off to feed. And alone, Mitch looks all around his property, smiles, and runs back to the house, leaving his nice camera to the elements. Good luck, camera. And that's it. Let's close it up with our MVP. I actually think Vanderbeek was pretty good in this episode.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. I will say the writers, they're not going to get many of these. And I think they didn't have to do this episode at all.
Yeah.
But they did a pretty good job, given that they did undertake it. So good for them. I mean, phrasing for me. Sorry.
Least valuable player. I don't want to talk shit about a grieving woman, but Gail, you have another child. Like, you have to get it together a little bit more and ask for adult help if you can't, because you can't put all of this on Dawson, like, choosing his father's casket.
Yeah. Also, while you're up, ask someone who's milling around eating your food at the wake to go get you some fucking milk for a couple days.
Yes. Yes.
But my actual answer is the other Witters. What the actual yes! fuck?
Oh my God. Especially, if nothing else, at least Doug, because he's like as close to a semi-series regular as they have in the family. Like, he should be there.
Yeah. One of them probably showed up to tell the family what happened.
Right.
It's baffling they wouldn't be at the service. Anyway.
Yep.
Next time on Again With This, a return to the customary barrage of contrived love triangulation will make you long for a reprise of the funeral episode. As Joey tries to cheer Dawson up with a book party, and a question mark, Jen thinks Charlie's stepping out on her, Jack puts Rose before Tobes, and Sarah was right about Pacey's cheaty boss. I'm also right about this. You should have a look at our visual aids. We do key screenshots and GIFs for every episode of this year podcast, and you can find those along with the episodes themselves on our website, againwiththispodcast.com. I can't with this fucking NPR voice anymore, so I'm going to stop. I'm Milk Carton Trigger, Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Blue Sky at Sarah D. Bunting. My co-host is Good Dope Tara Ariano, and she's on Blue Sky at Tara Ariano. And our producer, David Ticola, wants us out of his sight. Talk to you next time.
The last knife in his coffin.
Oh, yeah, wow.
That was a quote!